Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Laura Lanamy. Welcome along.
Today on the show, we talk to a potential Mr. Gay UK.
Ooh, Gay UK. A singer, songwriter, Sophie Rose will be with us live in the studio.
All that and more coming today right here on Shout Out.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, I've missed that.
I almost missed it. You know, I actually almost missed it. Who knew? Oh, Terry! I just heard that little laugh.
Hi. Hello.
Hello, gorgeous. How are you, mate? How are you?
I'm all right. I'm here.
Are you here?
Remoting in tonight.
Yes.
I can't wait to see your face again, though. But it's nice to have you, your ear. Well, you have you in my ears.
My voice.
And I know that now. I've learned my lesson from the last time.
Oh, dear. So, before we do anything, can we say a very happy birthday to Steffi?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Steffi.
Happy birthday, Steffi.
Off enjoying herself tonight. So, I hope so. Not with us tonight.
Getting treated, I hope.
I hope she's getting thoroughly spoiled. Yeah.
Oh, thoroughly.
Yes.
I can't wait to see her again say happy birthday. Yeah. She's one and only.
Indeed.
Yeah. So how
she is the one and only.
She is, isn't she? There's no other Steffi around. I can assure you that.
We're all quite unique, really. I mean, there's no other Lara, to be fair.
Oh, God forbid. could you imagine batting down the hatches? There should not. That's why I was like, shall I have children? Because I don't know if the world can handle another one of me. Do you know what I mean? I know, but then they could be even better. So I might as well gift the earth, you know?
And the lovely Sophie's here in the studio with us too. Hello, Sophie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Just listening in, quietly giggling.
Talking all about singing and songwriting in a short bit.
I can't wait. I've literally been waiting for this moment for the last 3 weeks. So,
we're kind of going all over the place with the show today. We've got Pride, because I've got a thing from Waltham Pride coming up in a minute. We're talking to lovely Sophie. Mm-hmm. A lovely guy, I'm just trying to find his name. There we go, Jordan. Who is going in for Mr. Gay UK. It was absolutely lovely. I interviewed him a little while ago.
Well, don't say we don't treat you, people.
No, we don't treat you.
We give you guest after guest after guest who's amazing, right? So how's your week been?
Manic, if I'm honest.
Manic.
Work is really, really busy. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Finally some sunshine.
Well, I know.
Apparently, today is the last of it going away, and then Friday, Saturday, it's going to be nice and warm, so time to get out and picnic. And
honestly, how am I
really
out here?
Isn't it? Let's go have a picnic.
I mean, it is, but also I love a picnic. But how am I in sheepskin in the middle of, the end of July? That doesn't seem right to me, even though I do get a bit hot in it.
I was like, is it really the end of July? It kind of is, isn't it? It's 25th.
It is. August is coming.
I actually hate the fact that summer is so short. How do we only get so many months of happiness?
But it is here, because the weather's been rubbish.
I mean, no, but come on. This year has actually been pretty all right. It's not been too bad. Maybe it's just because I've stopped doing a PhD.
So lucky,
so it's actually
with Pride.
Can we not? That was a glorious
day. Did you
manage
to make it along to Pride, Sophie?
I did. A little bit. I had a gig in the day, and then I made it in time for Ladytron. And I was an ex-Riot girl, so I was very, very, very happy about that.
We were really lucky she came and spoke to us on air after the show, too.
Oh, my God.
She was really, really nice, because her agent was only quick, because she's got to go. She's got another gig to get to. Mm. And she came on, and she just wouldn't stop talking for ages to the agent.
Awesome.
She really need to go.
No, she was awesome. She was great. And I loved that there was a little rock element, a part of Pride. I think, do you know what? Actually, Pride did amazing. And I still can't say the name. Mandaray Prin?
Mandaray Brin, yes.
Brin,
that's right, yeah.
Yes. Oh, honestly, I loved him. He was amazing. All of them were amazing. Yeah. And I just can't wait to see what's next year.
I think
year.
The biggest crowd pleaser was Claire from Steps.
Oh, probably.
I've never seen so many. I mean, everyone knew the moves, which probably helped. You could see all the gay guys around my age just suddenly
descend. I mean, of course, it's Steps. Come on. Yeah. That was their life. Well, your life back
in
the day.
And she came and talked to us too. It was absolutely lovely and was really complimentary about, the LGBT following that Steps had over the years. Mm. And said, in her words, she said, we wouldn't have been as successful if it hadn't been for you supporting 100%. Us.
Mm-hmm. I love those artists that actually pay homage to, the community communities that actually really support them, because it's important, you know. Yeah. Beyonce did it, like loads of stars are now realizing the queer community is strong and actually so supportive of those who would support us. And yeah. So I mess with that. Yeah,
well, talking of supporting the community, we're going to talk to Sophie in a minute, but we got a little thing for you about Waltham Forest Pride. Have a listen to this.
Fellowship Square is an open space in Walthamstow in the spectacular grounds of the Grade 2 listed Waltham Forest Town Hall. It features high-tech water fountains, much loved by families and children, as well as newly opened gardens, home to an acclaimed sculpture, The Arch by Henry Moore. There are monthly tours where you can learn more about the history of the Town Hall building and explore its Art Deco interior. Fellowship Square is always open for everyone to enjoy for free and hosts special events and festivals throughout the year. Waltham Forest Pride celebrates our local LGBTQI plus community. It's hosted at Fellowship Square and run by local LGBT charity, the East London Out Project, or ELOT, who offer a range of social, emotional and support services to LGBTQI plus communities. It's run in partnership with Waltham Forest Council, who are dedicated to ensuring the borough is a safe space for everyone. One of the best things about Waltham Forest is its inclusivity and culture of acceptance. Waltham Forest Council is proud that residents and visitors alike feel valued and respected as we continue to build on our proud history of tolerance and diversity. Everyone is welcome at Waltham Forest Pride, so we're looking forward to a joyful day celebrating with the community. There's lots of amazing free events happening all around Waltham Forest this summer, from free art exhibitions to a school holiday activity program and ways to enjoy our many parks and green spaces. You're invited to discover your summer in Waltham Forest, so head to our website and find out what else is on. At Fellowship Square, come down for the daily fountain displays, discover our new piece of public art, and of course, celebrate Waltham Forest Pride with us this Saturday. From 3 p.m. to 8 p.m, there will be music and dancing, a full day of fantastic performances, including Sound Manifesto, Lispinda Hoops, Temptation Manny, The Electric Landladies, and much more. There'll be activities for families and children too, a special family day at William Morris Gallery, plus after parties taking place all around Walthamstow. Waltham Forest Pride is completely free to attend, but you'll need a ticket for entry. So get yours now at walthamforest.gov.uk/pride.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
So there you go. Get along to Waltham Forest Pride.
That makes me so proud. Mm. Like, I love that. Like, pride should be in every single city, every single town, every single village. And so I'm very happy. And well done to Waltham Forest Pride. Like, we wish you the best this Saturday and good weather.
Yeah, nice that they're free as well. And I know that Bristol Pride are very proud to still say that they're a free event. So
yeah, I mean,
but if you do enjoy it, give them some money because it helps them bring it back the following year. You know, these things are getting more and more expensive each year. We're chatting with Darren about this year's Pride, and things have gone up a lot.
Yeah, so. And people's asking for more money, isn't it? So like, yeah, I'm so proud that like. Prides that are able to stay free are free, because it should be a free event. I know people about commercialization, but like, I really think it's important to for it to stay free and for the people.
Speaking of Sophie Pride. Rose, a very warm welcome and shout out. I've already introduced you, but it's lovely to have you with us.
Hi, it's nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
So give us a bit of background on yourself. Singer-songwriter doesn't really give you enough kind of credit for things, does it?
Sure, okay.
No, it really doesn't, actually, because if you actually knew a lot about Sophie, then you know how talented they were, or what she is in general. So yeah, let's hear.
How did you get into it? Are you one of those that has been into music ever since you can remember, or did you suddenly one day go, actually, I fancy having a go at doing that?
I wrote poetry from a really young age, like an alarmingly old person poetry from a very young age. So it was, that was my way. I think it's always been a need for expression rather than an interest or a hobby. It's been this is a necessity. So I wrote poetry from a young age, and then as I got a little bit older, I didn't grow up around any musicians or anything. Like, they, you know, it just wasn't.
It wasn't in the family or anything.
No, not a single instrument, not a note. No, everyone loved music, so they've all of, you know, all of my family have all given me different musical influences in lots of ways. And I, you know, I've got my mum's music influence, my stepdad's, my stepmum, my dad, you know, with all their families. So there's been a lot of people that listen to lots of different music. So that's been good. But me actually finding my way into being a musician has been a long road, a long old road. So
it sounds like a similar story to quite a few we've spoken to. Some people do take a while. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, is there? So, but you've got a guitar with us.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're going to play a bit later. Is it just a guitar you play, or are you now a multi-instrument person?
No, my gosh. Yeah, I'd say it's... I play piano sometimes, but it really... You know, it's really sort of, I'll play a bit of bass sometimes, but not in a way of like I can sit with a band and know all the theory. It's more I can find a song in an instrument.
So I'm interested, like, yeah, we haven't really talked about this. What genre are you kind of transversing in your music? Like kind of, yeah, kind of what, who are your influences as well?
Yeah, I guess like the main vein where I've sort of really landed and found where I make the most sense is country. And that's, you know, a wide genre, right? And but a lot of my influences, they range from everywhere. But a lot of it is, a lot of them are working class artists who have kind of, you know, had to find their way. But it's also a lot of, 60s folk, 60s psychedelic rock as well. There's a bit of that in there. But yeah, but country, 90s country as well. And then country folk that's a little bit more... old-timey, I guess.
Why country? Why does it speak to you, I guess?
Country music isn't about having the most academically sound song or being the coolest or being the one with the biggest... anything. I didn't mean to.
No, I like it. It's fine.
I just really long pause. Biggest instrument.
Okay.
But biggest note.
So does this tie back into the poetry then? When you're writing a song, is it do you start with the poetry or do you start with the music? Or?
It depends. Like nowadays. It's vocal lines, I think, more than anything. I do still write a lot of poetry, but nowadays it likes to... I mean, I'm a lot busier now than I was when I was a child, which is good, I suppose.
Booked and busy.
Okay. I'm an adult.
I do adult things.
I'm adulting now, so that's fun. But no, it's not fun, but yeah.
I want to rescind my subscription, literally.
Yeah. We'd all have to have the time we have when we were teenagers, wouldn't we?
Honestly, if I could be me now, but like, you know, have like money and more things,
you're good to go.
Yeah, like if I can adult,
time.
But
this is good. Yeah,
or like still have like someone dictating everything, every part of my life.
Right,
that would be lovely.
Right.
Because I should be making adult decisions. You know, I don't feel like I'm qualified. But you know,
I tell you you're in your 20s.
I'm 29.
The qualification years.
No, you're still in your 20s.
Last
year's
the worst.
Now tell us about your first song, because your first one. And you're on BBC already.
Yeah, well, actually, I'll tell you a backstory. Because in 2013, I used to perform under a stage name,
right.
Rose Black. And I actually played on the main stage at Bristol Pride
as
Rose Black. So she had her... Well, let's do it as if I've got... No, we're going to talk about it as if she's a different person. Rose Black had an EP. I did release music under a stage name before. So I would be lying if I said it was my first ever song.
Right.
But I went on a big journey and a big healing journey and lots of therapy and all these kind of things and kind of then relaunched music under my own name and in a place where I kind of really was a lot clearer on who I am and what I'm here to sing.
So, yeah.
But how did you go from that to it being on the BBC?
Yeah, so the first single, I'd submitted it to BBC Introducing, and I lived in Oxford at the time. So you pick your local BBC Introducing place, and Dave Gilliatt is Oxford, and he'd listened to it, and he contacted me to see if I wanted to do an interview on the show.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the song went to iTunes Country Music number one?
Yeah.
What did that feel like to get that after so much hard work?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, the main thing was that on that day they came out, it was sort of rising up the charts, and like, and it was rising up the all genre chart as well. And it was the day after the Queen died.
Ooh, so it was
a really, you know, I'd had this whole release planned, and then the night before it was all this anticipation, and then obviously we got told, it was all broke the news that the Queen passed away. So I was like, I don't want to go on social media and be like, listen to me. You know, when the whole of the UK has this blanket of
it does make everything stop.
It really did. So I shared it, you know, within the community I had around me at the time that were really supportive, and it was an online community, and everybody shared it. More and more people were sharing it. People were downloading it on iTunes. I think it was offering a lift. A feeling of lift to people, and it was, you know, a very energetically heavy day in the country. It rose up to number one in the
rose up.
I see what you did there.
How many years ago was this?
2022.
So where have you come from? Where have you got to now? Are you several songs later, or
so I released an EP just after that in the November of 2022. Since then, I've really just been leaning into gigs and doing some events as well of my own, and just building out my network, meeting more people, connecting with new people through gigs. I like the kind of meeting people in person bit. I feel like that's where I do best.
Do you like the more kind of like intimate type of gigs then?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that leads me on to my next question, because I have been to Sophie's, I feel like I'm boasting now, but I have been to Sophie's coffee shop sessions in Yate, and they are so beautiful because they are intimate. It's very nature. It's like you get to peer into someone's, not soul, because that's a bit deep, but like, you know, you get to peer into someone's like kind of life or experience and hear that. So can you tell us a little bit about that, like, and what the coffee shop sessions mean to you?
So I'm sober, and, you know, gigging regularly as a musician can often test that, the parameters of that sobriety. And I just,
well, because of the venues.
Yeah, you know, it's very noisy, lots of drinking. It makes you want to have a drink. People want to buy you a drink, which is lovely, you know, but you get offered, can I buy you a pint?
It's a completely different topic. It's a bit too ingrained in our culture, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you absolutely.
You should be able to go to a bar and have a non-alcoholic drink and not feel under pressure.
Yeah,
about it.
And it's getting better. It's getting a lot better, which is great. You know, and people want to have a good time. I want to have a good time, you know, but there's I need to be sober. But I joined forces with Coffee One in Yate, my hometown, and but on this night, and I guess for me, it's, you know, it's a sober space. It's where I'm hoping that it attracts my fellow introvert extroverts who, you know, just want to be able to come and hear some live music that's a bit more storyteller. It's a calm environment. It's cozy. You know, I'm very mindful of how people are going to feel in the space. It's just like a little hug. And you can sit with a cup of tea. You can meet like-minded people. So it's just to kind of make a nice, warm, relaxed environment.
I've always found those kind of ones a lot more intimate. We've had a couple of people on the show in previous years who've interestingly come across from America and done gigs. One of them was on the Grain Barge and was just like 15-20 people there, and it's such a different, more intimate, like you're there connecting with the artist as opposed to the O2 Arena. It's great when you see like a huge great act like Robbie Williams or something, but it's not the same, is it? It's so different.
No, I definitely, like, and definitely not to make this about me, but I'm not afraid to say it. I'll say it with my full chest. I definitely cried the first time because Sophie did this incredible song, and it like completely touched me because I was like, for the first time, I was like, do you know what? I am actually proud of myself. And so I think it's one of those things where you're like, you come, you don't really expect to know what it's about, but Coffee One is also such a brilliant location to be doing it. Do you see yourself like expanding it, or like where do you see it kind of growing to, or where would you want it to grow to?
Yeah, I mean, so there is sort of scope to maybe grow it. We're just sort of kind of looking into that at the moment, maybe with Coffee One. They're really great. They've been amazing. And So it's done in like a Nashville style writer's round. You've got three artists sat up on at the same time and they take it in turns to tell a story in a song. So it's a really nice way to sort of see watch music as well. But we've got two artists coming over from Nashville in October. I've not actually announced that yet, but they're coming over.
Wait, exclusive.
Yeah, John Bird and Amelia White, they're coming over and they're actually going to do a coffee shop sessions. So they're doing a UK tour and coffee shop sessions going to be on their tour. So
we can see what happens.
We are quite lucky, not just in Bristol and all the surrounding, there are quite a lot of venues you could do that kind of thing in, which is quite cool. So now you are going to perform for us, aren't you?
Yeah.
What are you going to perform for us?
I'm going to do a song called To the Core.
Cool. Yes.
Yeah.
One of my favourites.
Over to you.
Oh, you want me to do that now?
Oh, okay. Let's go. Do we not introduce?
Yeah, well.
This is Sophie Rose, To the Core.
There you go. Can do that. Oh, you just done it.
Well, thank
you. Debate whether or not you're going to wear my guitar. Got a bit cold from the air conditioning. Ooh. So she shrunk.
Oh.
All right. And on that note.
Oh, we've up. Yeah, no, I'm ready.
This is called Tit. You wanted that over there, didn't you, that guitar? That mic. All right.
This is live, so bear with us.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm like this live, though, on a stage as well, yeah.
And the accents.
Don't get me started.
I won't, honey.
Oh, this is To the Core.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Down to the core.
Amazing.
That was so good.
Lovely Sophie Rose there, live in the studio. So thank you so much for that. Sophie, before we finish up with you, if people want to find out more about you and perhaps come see some of these gigs, etc., where's the best place for them to check you out?
Yeah, come find me on Instagrams where I am the most and it's
really
Facebook.
Really popular Instagram at the moment.
I love Instagram. I'm a visual person, so I love Instagram. But yeah, Instagram or Facebook, both are at Sophie Rose UK.
Brilliant. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Sophie Ray. Right, time to get some news headlines with the lovely Mr. Star. I believe you're there, are you, mate? Mr. Star.
I am indeed.
Cool, here we go.
This is Shoutout News. Welcome along. LGBTQ Nation says that one of only two LGBT plus speakers at the Republican Party's convention in the United States claims that its presidential candidate Donald Trump does not care about people's sexual orientation or gender identity. Rick Greenell, a gay man who was acting director of national intelligence for about 2 months during the Trump administration, spoke on day three of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. This may actually be true. Mr. Trump seems to care little as long as people support him. However, many of the other people active in the Republican Party do have a problem with LGBTQIA plus people, and in particular trans people. LGBTQ Nation's Alex Bollinger writes, despite Mr. Greenhill's implication that Trump is indifferent to LGBT plus people, Mr. Trump has already taken anti-LGBT plus policy stances as part of his Agenda 47, which lays out his campaign Payne's plans for his possible second term. On one page, Trump promises to pass a federal law banning what he characterises as child sexual mutilation, despite the fact that gender-affirming surgeries are almost never performed on minors. And he also wants to, quote, ask Congress to permanently stop federal taxpayer dollars from being used to promote or pay for these procedures. Anarchist collective Crime Think have some observations to make about state violence and power as the far right mobilised to try and capitalise on the abortive assassination attempt on Donald Trump earlier in July. They report, politicians across the spectrum have decried political violence, but political violence is fundamental to all government, not least the United States. The central element of Mr. Trump's appeal is that he is explicitly promising to direct this particular violence against undocumented people, poor people, people of colour, women, queer and trans people, anarchists and other scapegoats. Trump's rise coincided with a dramatic spike in mass shootings and vehicular attacks, many of which were carried out by his supporters. Everything that centrist politicians do to pave the way for his return renders them complicit in the bloodbaths ahead, they said, and concluded, "This makes the work we are trying to do all the more important. We have already participated in one round of movements that effectively blocked Mr. Trump's ambitions in 2017. Now it's time to prepare for the next round." For more information about CrimeThink and its publications, visit allthews.store.crimethink.com. Campaign and international LGBTQIA plus solidarity website All Out have reached out for funding to help a railroad of freedom away from oppressive states in the Gulf of Persia region. They published the appeal from a man called Tariq, who writes, "In Saudi Arabia, being LGBT plus is considered a crime, punishable by death. Because of this, LGBT plus people face extreme persecution and violence and often have to flee their homes to survive. I was one of those people. After being imprisoned on the mere suspicion of being queer, I knew I had to escape to survive. But escaping was not something I could have done alone. Thankfully, I found the Alwan Foundation just in time, and today I am safe. Thanks to them, I received the support I needed, relocation assistance, legal help, food, temporary housing and other essentials. But I'm not just safe, I'm now working with the Alwan Foundation to help other queer refugees like myself." He says, "I know firsthand the terror of living in a place where your existence is denied and criminalised. I'm committed to helping others find the safety and freedom I now have. That's why I'm reaching out. There are many more people just like me throughout the Gulf region, in countries like Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain and the UAE, who desperately need you on their journey to safety and security. If you're interested in donating or to find out more about the work of the campaign, visit allout.org. In sports news, queerguru.com, an LGBTQIA plus sports web resource Outsports, report that the Olympic Games this summer in Paris will see the largest expression of track and field LGBTQIA plus people in the game's modern history. They say the 2024 Paris Games mark a significant increase in LGBTQ representation, highlighting the progress towards inclusivity and acceptance in the sports world. There are also a record number of out male Olympic athletes. The interactive list from outsports.com will allow you to filter by country, sport and competition category, making it easy to find and learn about each athlete. Whether you're looking for athletes from your home country or interested in a specific sport, the database is designed to help you connect with and support these trailblazing individuals. And finally, the Elton John AIDS Foundation reports that they have had a successful summer of training, outreach and expanding services, particularly in Eastern Europe. In an antidote to negative news, the organisation, which was founded by gay singer and icon Elton John, says, "We are delighted to announce a $25 million five-year extension to our Radian partnership with Gilead Sciences, dedicated to addressing the HIV crisis in Eastern Europe and Central Asia. This vital partnership, which began in 2019, brings a substantial investment and promises to make a profound impact on local communities, especially the most vulnerable people. Since 2019, we have reached more than 271,000 people with HIV services, provided over 114,000 HIV tests, reinitiated over 26,500 people on HIV treatment, trained more than 14,000 frontline workers to reduce stigma and discrimination." Well, if you're curious to find out more about their blog and their short film featuring Elton John and David Furnish, delving into how this partnership is set to transform lives, then do visit their website. For these news stories, plus much more besides, be sure to check out us online. We're at shoutoutradio.lgbt and we update our website every day. For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
that get your approval on that one? It's a nice version
of
it, isn't it?
There's everyone knows there's seldom songs that I actually like that Andy picks.
That's not true. You do sometimes like him.
No, I said it's seldom, but it's not never. But this was a good choice, Andy. Do you know what you're improving?
Thank you.
I think ever since I've come back, you started improving. Now you've got someone to impress, you know what I mean?
All right.
The Queen herself.
Love you too.
I know. I love you too, Andy.
But that, in case you're wondering, that is Forever Young by Becky Hill. And that's a residential remix, hence why it's faster. You might remember it was used on, I'm pretty sure it was John Lewis who used it in the Christmas advert a few years ago.
Probably.
But it was the original version, you know, the really nice somber version of it. But I try not to play those kind of tracks on the show because, you know, you don't want it all to be too down.
No.
Like, so.
But this was very upbeat and very, like, you know, living in my share moment.
Yeah, so...
don't even know what that means.
Anyway, would you like to catch up with Mr. Gay? Well, no, I should say potentially Mr. Gay UK. He's in the competition.
Well, of course.
It was absolutely lovely. This is me chatting with the lovely Jordan Chan.
Mm.
Now, I can't remember the last time I went and saw a Mr. Gay UK. You can tell I'm getting on a little bit, but I do remember the competition very well in my youth, shall we say. And I'm joined today by the lovely Jordan, who's competing for it. Jordan, welcome to Shout Out.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Now, before we get to the competition, give us a little bit of background on yourself. Where are you from? Which part are you competing in, etc.?
So I'm Jordan. I am 31 years old and I'm from the Isle of Sheppey. I am an operations manager for an insurance company by day and a proud LGBTQ plus activist by night. And I also do a bit of part-time underwear modelling as well. Gay Great Britain and realised what the prize was and thought I need to go for it. Well, you know what they say, if you want something done, go do it yourself. So
cool. So let's be positive. Let's assume you're going to win. Then the next one is Mr. Gay Europe.
Yes. Yeah, so if you win Great Britain, then you qualify for entering Europe. And then if you are a finalist in Europe, you can also go for Mr. Gay World. And I believe Mr. Gay World last year was held in South Africa.
All right.
And this year it's held in the UK. So
amazing.
Mr. Gay World will be competing at the same time as Mr. Gay Great Britain. So we'll be all together, different competitions, but in the same venue, in the same circles, competing in different levels of the competition. So yeah, it's going to be a big event this year.
Well, best of luck to you. I do hope it goes well. It sounds like you put an awful lot of effort into it, even if there is still much to go. What dates is it for people that want to be following it? When are you going to be doing the competition and finding out if you won or not?
So the final is held on Monday, the 26th of August, so Bank Holiday Monday. So if anyone's listening, please vote. So each like is classed as a vote, and the voting's open right up until the 25th of August. So yeah, it's if the public would like to get involved, you can vote. I've got also a Just Giving page if you'd like to donate to the two amazing charities that we're raising money for. And I'll be attending different prides around Kent, including Dartford, Medway, Margate and Deal. So if you see me, come over and say hi.
Well, I mean, that was going to be my next question. I mean, obviously people can see you if they're there, but we go out to quite a wide audience. People also want to follow you and keep up to date with what you're doing. How do they go about doing that?
Yeah, so give me a follow on Instagram. It's JordanWCH_92. Or to vote as well, you can go on the Mr. Gay Great Britain Facebook or Instagram page. If you find the photo of me, it will say vote Jordan. I'm wearing a suit. If you give it a like, that's classed as a vote as well. So if you don't want to follow and just want to vote, then please do that as well.
Cool. Well, best of luck, Jordan. And thanks ever so much for talking to us. And hopefully what we'll have to do is catch up with you after it when you can tell us that you won.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed. I need everyone to get behind me. I need as much support as I can get. I want to make a real difference and make an impact. And I can do that if I win this title. So, yeah, any support would be really, really appreciated.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast. It's tearing me
apart. For someone who says you don't like my music, Josh, you're quite liking him tonight, aren't you?
Everyone, he's improved. What can I say? I am an honest person, though, aren't I, Andy? Like, if I don't like it, I'll tell you. Yeah, but when you I do. Love it, yeah. I'll be bopping, like, chest pumping.
I
like,
know you. What? You tell him we had the artist on the show.
What? Oh, I'm not that mean. I'm just not, you know, tactful.
Is it Human League at Pride? We're like, what do you think? Like,
did I do it on air? Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I? Did they deserve it, though?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
No, wouldn't let us broadcast them.
No, but so. If you actually did pick that song, if you actually listen to the lyrics, it's kind of messed up. So that's why I was
it's a little
like,
bit, yeah. It but it's a nice, boppy, you know, it's summer at the
you
moment.
You will regret.
It's kind of a summery type song.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Well, don't you agree?
Yeah, no, it's a song, and it was in the summer that we heard it, so it was good. but, like, I love with the full chest. I mean, they said they were miserable.
Let's get a second opinion. Sophie, what did you think? Did you like it?
Of what?
Human League?
Oh, Human League.
I was on about that song. Oh, were you okay. on about Human League? Were you? Oh,
well,
okay.
You were just talking about. Okay, right. This is not normally this chaotic. yeah. What do you think of the Sophie Ellis Bextor song?
The Sophie Ellis Bextor song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had like a Gaga-ish vibe. I think they were kind of like her vocals.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, the processing of her vocals felt very in line with like Gaga.
So, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce the surname, but it's by Felix Jehern, I think. Oh, Yeun, J-A-E-H-N, if you know how to pronounce
Yeun.
It.
Yeun.
It's called, obviously, Ready For Your Love. So.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
She's ready.
Oh,
she is. Yeah.
I hope so.
I've heard that pronounced Jian and Jayen as well.
Oh, right, so
Felix Jayen.
Unusual name.
Yeah.
It's a lovely name.
A lovely song.
I love Felix as a name.
It was good.
Right, so what's coming up in 2 weeks, Andy?
The Bloom Fiesta.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to drop the ball then.
No, sorry, I was thinking about what's coming up tomorrow.
Oh, okay, sorry, okay, fine.
What's coming up tomorrow?
What's coming up tomorrow, Andy?
Just this little thing called the Olympics.
Dun, dun, dun. The Olympics. Okay, sure. But I'm more concerned of what's coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's
no,
Bristol-based.
It's Bloom Fiesta. Yeah. So have you ever been to Bloom Fiesta?
Of course.
You have.
I went with an ex-girlfriend, but let's not talk about that. But yeah, it was a great day. I love the bumper cars and I love the balloons.
What about you, Terry? Have you been?
Never. I've seen it on TV.
What? Yeah.
Never.
Sorry.
Never been to Bloom Fiesta.
What do you mean? How long have you lived in Bristol, Terry? Like, I'm slightly disappointed
time.
In you.
The nightglow is amazing.
It
have
is.
You ever been?
Sophie,
yes,
have you been?
Yeah,
I have.
Yeah. Oh, see.
So, and they're doing a lot more this year because the number of people going is getting so high.
Yeah.
They're actually spreading it out, and there's going to be a sense going from all over Bristol.
Oh.
Because they can't physically get that many people onto Ashton Court anymore.
No.
If we remember, was it 5 years ago or something like that? There was a point where people were in their car for 4 hours, never made it there. The whole thing happened. And then they queued for another 4 hours to get back out again and never saw a balloon. They've changed things a lot more parking, a lot more entrances.
Yeah, but you think people are still going to swarm on the actual day, though?
Oh, of course, it'd be heaving, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's well worth going. But if you check out the website for them, you will see that there is a sense going from all over Bristol. Like yesterday, I think one went from College Green. In the morning, they all took off.
Do you know what? They look like a good idea until you get in one. Do you know what I mean? Like they look
have you
like
been in one?
No, that's the thing. So because I look at it and I'm like, yeah, I want to float, I want to fly, and then I'm like, yeah, but I'll be off the ground and I can't jump out. I can't like get.
No,
I can't
it's
be,
not like, advisable to jump out.
Exactly. So like yeah. I don't.
I
like
mean, you can bungee off the bottom. I've seen that done.
Oh no. I mean, I would.
I just got visions of Lara dangling from the bottom of hot air.
I mean, dreams. I think it's for me. If I'm in a confined space and I can't get out quickly, it scares me.
It's not that confined though, is it? They're huge.
No, they are huge, but like, as in like, there's only certain places you can go in it.
It's just like a giant basket on a giant balloon, isn't it? Like, you're essentially just like in a giant helium. It's not helium.
It feels
like, giant.
You're
in a basket.
Yeah.
Like, so they did. It's got to have been a good 20 years or so ago, but in the centre of Bristol, they did once have a helium one.
Oh.
And it was on a tether, and the platform was a giant round circle. And you could get in it, and it would go up, and you'd spend half an hour up in the air, and then the tether would bring you back down again.
See, that sounds like my worst and best nightmare.
It was brilliant. The view across Bristol was out of this world.
So you don't have vertigo, do you? Do you know what? I actually got vertigo as I got older. Like, I don't know how it happened. I used to be fine with heights, and then suddenly I'm looking down, I thought I could die. So then,
yeah, for mine's me, claustrophobia.
Claustrophobia.
Fear gets worse.
Yeah.
It does, who knew? Who knew?
It does tend to, unless you deal with it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, but like,
therapy session.
Literally, so I was going to say,
in a balloon, Lara.
Literally, no, but I was going to say also on get the. On
so we know what we're getting Lara for her next birthday.
I swear to God, Andy. You can spend money on jewellery, on cars, on anything, but not in a hot air balloon.
Not air balloon. Right.
For my future wife, I'm just telling you now, never buy me that as a gift.
Do.
Like, so it was on the 11th.
Never insult my music again, will you?
I actually wouldn't. I'd be very quiet. No, but on the 11th of August, that's when it is. And the same day as Black Pride, everyone.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
London or here? Or
London.
London. Oh, cool. Are you going?
London.
Of course.
Marvellous. Do you know whereabouts it is?
Yes, it's the Olympic Park.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really lovely. And then also there's a Margate Pride, which is very apparently high percentage of lesbians, which is great for me.
When's Margate Pride?
I don't know. But there's also a Margate Black Pride. So.
Oh,
you know what you're doing for
You're going
weekend,
on a road trip. You're going to be on tour. Lara on tour.
Catch me in your nearest and dearest house.
I send you the microphone again, won't
we? Oh, yeah, exactly. I'll be going up to people like, have you heard of Pride? Yeah, no, love it. Get myself out there.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed the weather holds out. It's looking like it's going to get better.
I mean, I don't understand British people that say, like, I hope the weather's... No, just expect the worst.
Oh, if it's a wet pride, it's a wet pride.
Yeah, but it's still nicer when it's a dry pride, isn't it?
Yes. If it's a wet pride, it's a wet pride, ladies and gentlemen. That's the ending sentence.
Anyway,
that's how we end to this week.
We'll say bye-bye to Sophie now. Well, that's it for another week. If you'd like to meet the team and watch a live broadcast, stay tuned. We're coming out of the studio for a rather special event coming up.
Ooh, full details will be coming out in a few weeks, and we can't wait.
Next week, Queer Planet, but from myself, from Terry, from Lara, and the lovely Sophie.
You almost forgot my name.
Giggling the things off over there. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
It's been a treat.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.